Hey, this is Samir.
Hey, this is Alec.
And this is Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. Welcome to episode 49. Let's go.
What's going on, EDM champions? My name is Alec Prieto, and this is episode 49 of Beyond the Beat. We're going to kick off this episode with some high trap-fueled energy here. My own repeat is Bauer with Tep Tep.
Alec Prieto, my dude.
I was not expecting this from you.
Can I just say I was not expecting this from you? Because I was not expecting this, okay? This song is awesome, dude. You and I, we've talked about this before. We're not the biggest Bauer fans. We're not. But he had an integral part of bringing trap music to the masses with his 2012 or 2013 hit, Harlem Shake. You know what, man? This song had me Harlem shaking in my chair. There's just this very atmospherical trap. And I feel like everybody knows Bauer for the Harlem Shake, but they should hear another side of Bauer with this song. I'm really impressed with this one, man. Nice pick. How'd you come across this one? Tell me about it.
So, I mean, I've heard from quite a few people more in the trap scene that if you dig a little bit deeper into Bauer's discography and some more of the crate diggers that he's put out there, that he has a lot of talent in there, and he's just quite eclectic with things, and he bounces back and forth. And so while people know him for the Harlem Shake, he's certainly got some other gems in there too. And Tep Tep is just one of those where I've actually heard it before, but I didn't realize that it was a Bauer track. So
nice.
When I came across it, this was a while ago, and then it just kind of, how sometimes just pops back up again on Spotify when you're listening and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I forgot about how awesome this song is. And, I just want to, this is a 2018 release of his, so I would love it to see if in 2020 Bauer can go back to making this type of trap, because I really think that he does it very, very well when he puts his mind to it. So I'd love, because I would go see him again if he started putting out more of these type of tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we saw him at our alma mater. You remember that?
you were still in school
at that time.
I had already graduated. That's right.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Dude, you know what? I think we have a big announcement. So, Alec, I want to hear from your smooth British voice. What are we announcing to the EDM champions today?
Well, we're announcing that we have heard, we have listened, we have taken into account every DM that we've gotten, everyone that has given their feedback, especially as it relates to show notes. So, I'm very, very happy and excited to announce that we have finally figured out a way to make this whole experience of listening to us a lot easier. We want to present to you the beyondthebeats.co website. It's www.beyondthebeats.co. Hopefully we'll be .com at some point soon. We're still working on getting that part of the domain, but we decided to get a website up. It's really looking sleek. It's very minimalistic. So if you're on your mobile phone, you can easily go to it, really mobile optimized and designed for that. So if I had to recommend a way of viewing the website, I would definitely say just hop on your phone, which is great because immediately after you listen to the podcast, you want to see the show notes or you want to track it along as you're listening to it. Great. Bang on the link in there and you'll get access to the full show notes. So no need to be going to Facebook. No need to be relying on your podcast player to support full show notes, because you can now just go to the website. But it's more than just the show notes. I don't want to just say the website's purely about the show notes. It's going to have everything in there. It's going to have the people on the artist spotlights, all of our talented friends, Javex, Scribe, Aki, you name it, all the people that we have talked to in the past year and the people that we will be talking to. They're going to have a little page on there as well. There'll be links to their socials, links to their SoundCloud, links to all of our playlists. I mean, essentially, this is going to be the one source of truth for Beyond the Beats. And I tell you, we've been working on this for a long while. You know, thank you for everyone for their patience, for us dealing with this type of problem. But I tell you, just having the website now is just going to be huge, because there's going to be a lot we can do with it, and it's going to extend a lot further than just your regular show notes. So at the end of this episode, definitely please go check out beyondthebeats.co. I'll hyperlink it in this as well, and I'll put it into the summary so you can see it. But definitely check it out. Please give us your thoughts and your feedback. You can reach us at connect@beyondthebeats.co, or you can feel free to DM us either on Twitter, which is pod.btb, or on Instagram, btb.pod. But that's my kind of spiel on it, man. I mean, wow. I'm just happy that we finally got this launched and up and ready for everyone to enjoy.
It feels good. It really, really feels good. And just as a heads up to everybody, the show notes will be moving exclusively to the website in order to promote a clean listening experience across all platforms, no matter which podcast player that you are using. So thank you guys for everybody who has given us feedback. Like Alec had said, we're very excited to take the Beyond the Beats experience to the next level. And you know what? We are ready for the next 49, the next 50 episodes with the new website and beyond this. EDM champions, you guys are the best. We love you, okay? We love you. And Alec, can I give a really quick shout out first before we dive really deep into the music and all the cool stuff we're talking about? Dude, shout out to David from San Francisco. San Francisco, where is your disco? I'll tell you what, David is the epitome of San Francisco disco,
yes,
okay?
He is.
Dude, I tell you, man, when I saw that picture of the pearler that you made of the Beyond the Beats logo, I damn near dropped my phone. I was so impressed,
man. That's not an exaggeration.
Seriously, brother. Like, absolutely amazing, man. And, like, the fact that our EDM champions and, you know, basically our friends of the podcast they love the show and, you know, they support what we're doing. Oh, dude, it's just like, it's incredibly heartwarming. We love to see it. And it truly, truly means the world to us. So David from San Francisco, you are a legend. You are an EDM champion and we genuinely appreciate it.
Couldn't say it better. And David, we'll meet up sometime at Audio. I know that you said you wanted to meet up sometime then. You know, we could give that to us. Hopefully we'll have a few goodies for you too. But definitely want to go out, grab a drink with you, get to know you, man, because that was really some heartwarming stuff. Samir isn't exaggerating. I'm sure he nearly dropped his phone.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, brother, let's get into this, because we got a lot of great stuff to talk about here on episode 49. Peep this, all right? We got some new music from the artists that we're watching. Very excited to talk about these guys. Trip Trop, Honey and Badger, teaming up with Gabba. So two artists that we're watching teaming up to do a collaboration. Alert, it's great music all around, dude. Check this out, all right? We got some new music. Chami. He's been busy, all right? Martin Garrix, Alpha 9, Marshmello, the list goes on, all right? Then we're diving into the news and culture section. Alec, you had such a fantastic conversation with a really, really up-and-coming rising talent in the
scene. Absolutely.
So I'm very excited to have that played on the show. Then we're talking about what some dope parties in New York City are doing about going plastic-free. We're talking about a new DJ video game. We're talking about a lot of stuff here is basically what I'm trying to say. Then we're diving into the anti-plur moment, all right? You already know that I am ready to rip it up in this one, okay? So we got the anti-plur moment, and then we cap off the show with our favorite sections, the what are we listening to, and the artists that we're watching. Alec and I have two fantastic, fantastic picks that we just cannot wait to get in front of your ears. Back to the top. Alec, this is absolutely massive, all right?
Massive.
Absolutely massive. Dude, Trip Trop, they are coming, and they are coming at you hard, all right? We got Trip Trop remix of Skrillex and Joyride's song, Again, Witta, all right? First of all, how amazing is this? Valentino Khan just played this song at EDC Mexico.
I was about to say
like,
that.
What the hell, dude?
And you've got people like 4B comment. I saw on their SoundCloud 4B commented on it. Like,
oh,
geez.
My God.
I mean, just unbelievable reception.
Oh, my goodness. Good for these guys. I'm so glad we got a chance to interview them on an artist spotlight before they just became too big for little old Beyond the Beats. But you know what? Let's play this remix right now on the show. Guys, check this out. This is the Trip Trop remix of Skrillex and Joyride's song, Again, Witta. Again, Witta. Again, Witta. Again, Witta. Because I hit a Witta. Because I hit a Witta.
one word to describe this man, slaps. This song absolutely slaps. What a fantastic remix. I mean, you know, this is, when they told us that they were thinking about doing this, I was like, wow, okay, this is quite ambitious of them to do. But I tell you what, man, they pulled it off and they nailed it. What a great remix. I mean, it just goes so well with the original. You can see it's kind of like, you know, it's not so much a remix as much as it is just kind of like, I feel like it's extending it a bit. You know what I mean? Just like it's extending the idea and the core ideas behind the track and within the track and just putting a little bit of their own, you know, twist, as they usually say, right? And again, we're at a trip-trop twist. You never know what you're going to find in the jungle. And certainly this track holds up to that sentiment.
Guys, congratulations on your success with that track. You guys are absolutely killing it. We love
crushing
to see it.
Keep on going, guys.
Alec, we got Honey and Badger and Gabba, and they released the track on, you ready for this? Nuance Blanc Records.
This has to be one of my favorite record labels right now. It's just constantly putting out great bloody music. It's just these I don't know what's in the water over there in France right now, but
they're eating too many baguettes. I think that the key is the baguettes. Yeah.
I'd love to hear you explain that link at some other point, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about in the show, so let's move forwards. But dude, this is let's give our thoughts after this, because I just want to play out a little sample of this track. It's just such a banger, a great Nuance Blanc staple. Remember, guys, this is Honey and Badger and Gabba for their song Nerf.
I just want to say merci for introducing me to Nuance Blanc Records, man. I'm a really big fan of this track. This is exactly what I expect from Nuance Blanc, and I just love to see that the label head Koos, another artist that we're watching, has found the talent that Honey and Badger has, and Gabba, of course, and they teamed up for this track, Mercs, and it absolutely slaps. This is a slapper of a French house track. I'm a really big fan of this.
Absolutely, man. Couldn't have said it better. So keep on crushing it, guys. We're watching you. All right. We haven't heard from this person in a while, but they've been busy doing some big things, getting some, you know, I saw on Twitter, I think, the other day. What was the name of the big DJ, Samir? It's really into Alert right now. Was it?
Oh, Joyride. Joyride's a huge
Joyride.
Alert.
Yeah, exactly. So just some great seeing someone get traction like that. But of course, already ruined it. It's Alert with, he came out with a new volume, the NRG Volume 1. Man, these tracks were very, very hot, I feel like.
Yeah, man. I mean, Alert is just known for an aggressive bass house sound. And you know what? We actually already previewed one of the tracks from this compilation. We previewed Pushing on the show before. But you know what, man? I got to pick another song for our EDM champions to hear. I'm going to go with Feel My Energy. Do you feel my energy on this song, Alec?
I feel it. I feel the bass kicking in.
Let's play, baby. This is Alert's song, Feel My Energy. He teamed up with Callum Higby. This is right off of his new volume, Energy Volume 1. Take a listen. Drop the
Zone. Yes, man. Love this guy, man. He's just bringing in the energy, putting it back into the house music. Love it, man. I have to also give a shout out to another track on this is Blood. Yeah. I actually really enjoyed that track. I don't know if Yeah, I really, really was pretty pumped up on that one.
Alert is known for aggressive bass house, but I love the fact that the last two songs on the on this compilation here, Revolution and Blood, I love that they were like a little bit more trappy. They had a trappier vibe to them.
Exactly.
And I fucks with that, okay? And just real quick before we move on from Alert, I just love that like in his bio for SoundCloud, it just says energy in like big capital levels, because that's what you're gonna get. That's what you're gonna get from Alert, and it is so spot on.
Absolutely. I just noticed that. You're right. I love that. that's awesome. Just like love very it, keeping it short and sweet and simple, straight to the point. Yeah. Absolutely.
A man of a few words.
A man of a few words, but a lot of energy. All right. New music this week. I tell you, we've seen a lot of traction on EDM Twitter and social media talking about this guy. We've got the pioneer of modern day French house. That is Charmy. Came out with track Proud. Samir, are you proud of it? What are your thoughts?
Dude, I'm proud. Guys, get your prayer hands together. Just put them together and just bow down to the master that is Charmy. He really, really knocked it out of the park with these two releases that he released this past week. And I'm very excited to talk about the other one. But Proud, oh my goodness, this was such a great song. I love the Far East vibe to this one, man.
Yes,
like,
sir.
I think that's what really hooked me into this track. Alec, what did you think?
No, I'm right there with you, man. It's certainly a song to be proud of from the French maestro.
Oh, yeah.
He's just been
vocals were great.
He's been, you know what I like about this, and we can talk about it after Ghost 2, the next track that we'll talk about. But he's really starting to explore different ways of, you know, incorporating his house sound, right? So it might not be kind of back to the future house focus that he's been known for, right? With, you know, his take on Move Your Body back in the day. I mean, you know, Promises, a bunch of different songs like that. So he's just definitely expanding his sound a bit, and I really like how he's incorporating different cultural, you know, aspects to his tracks and things.
Totally agree. The man is revolutionizing his sound, and this is a really, really cool period of growth for Charmy, and we love him on the show. So I'm very excited about this these releases. He's actually working on a new album.
He just announced new album. That will be his debut album.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. There you go. Yeah, it'll be his debut album. So just very,
which
very exciting stuff.
Can you believe that?
I know. He's been around for so long. We're finally getting
an
album. I'm very excited to
just
hear his
EPs
cohesive
and,
image.
Yeah. Really interesting, right? That would be an interesting topic for a day. Like, you know, albums seeming to come at a different point in an artist's career now. You know, you've seen
people
like Joyride with Akali, for instance, too. Anyhow, that's another one. But Charmy, Ghosts, the other track that he's released, definitely something that got some mixed opinions, I feel like, on Twitter and things. Did you see that too?
This is another fantastic track from Charmy, and I gotta give it up, man. The lyrics in the song Proud and the lyrics in this song Ghost, I love both of them.
You like
I
the
love
words.
Both of these
oh,
tracks.
He
I
likes
love
the words.
I love the lyrics. Yeah.
Ladies and
I
gents,
really do.
He likes the words. That's big.
Guys, you know what? That's how you know that the world is coming to an end, because I enjoy the lyrics. No, this is a really fantastic song. Charmy is revolutionizing and changing up his sound, and I really love to see it. Alec, what are your thoughts?
I like it, man. And I think it's a logical progression forward. You know, I'm big on kind of, you know, if you're going to be creative under the same brand or the same alias, at least be kind of logical with the progression in your creativity. And Charmy has certainly done that. And I'm not quite sure. I mean, I can see why there are some people who were, you know, found this song to be not, you know, the most favorite, and they preferred that he go back to the future house type of route that he was going before. But you know what? This could be easily integrated into one of those sets. So I'm not sure what they're complaining about. Like, this would actually be a really nice switch up, in my opinion. So I really enjoy this track. I think people need to just, you know, lay off him a bit. I have a feeling, I have a very funny feeling, in that debut album we were just talking about, there will be some future house in there for all his old school fans. So there you go. I think you're going to find it. You just got to realize that, you know, Charmy's, he's a man of the world now. He can't just play and stick to one different type and sound. He's got his full confession. You know, he's got the confession label. You know, he's going to be expected to be creative, and this is what he's doing, and I think he's doing it well.
I'm really excited to catch this new Elevation tour that I'll be seeing this coming weekend, so I'm really pumped up, and I'll report back on my experiences there. He's coming to New York real soon, so yeah.
Absolutely, man. All right, we've got Martin Garrix, the song Drown, featuring Clinton Kane. Samir, what are your thoughts?
Not for me. You know, it's like, I love Martin Garrix. I love the kid. He's really, really great live. Had a really fun time at his set at EDC Vegas. But this one right here, man, I don't know. It's just, it didn't really hit. It didn't really hook me in, and I was not a fan of the words. Alec, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with you there, man. I was just not that about this song. This is kind of a straight no from me.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay, there you go. There, you got some Martin Garrix Big Room with the song Drown, featuring Clinton Kane. And you know what? You guys make your own opinions on that one. That's our thoughts there. Alec, Alpha 9. Do you know who Alpha 9 is, Alec?
Of course I do. Alpha 9 is Artie. You got to be given that. Come on, that, that's
that
a layup
is right.
there. Absolute
exactly.
layup there.
Yeah, his trance alias right here, right, with the song Dreams. I really enjoyed this one. I'm a big fan of Artie. I just want to put that out there right now. But I love this song Dreams. You know, it's a little bit more traditional trance sound, but it has a lot of energy to it. And that's why I really enjoyed this song. Alec, your thoughts, please. I need them.
Dude, I'm very pumped up that you enjoy Alpha 9 and you like Artie's trance alias there, because I do too. I tell you, we don't talk about trance too much, but I'm really glad that Alpha 9 came out with the song Dreams today. It's just a great, amazing vibe type of track. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's just got a really good, cohesively inspiring and uplifting feel to it, right? Like, it kind of builds up and stuff, and I really enjoy this, the latter half, the second part of the track.
Me too.
Really enjoy that. I love the elongated build up there, and the drop was just very sweet and uplifting, and it was just really well done.
Nice, man. I'm really excited about that. I hope to catch him play as Alpha 9 sometime soon.
Oh,
I did
yeah
check to
definitely.
See if he's not on the EDC lineup, but unfortunately he's not. But you know what, maybe I'll see him some other time. All right, Marshmello, Sudden Death, Alec.
Again.
They're teaming up again.
There they are.
Teaming up again. You know what's so funny? I was just thinking, like, we talked about, like, their last collaboration, Sellout, like, really, really early on in the show. So it's just kind of funny to see them teaming up again for their new song, Crusade. I'm really excited to get your thoughts on this one. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I thought it was good. I could see, I think this one actually, in a way, was probably better integrated than Sellout was, I thought, in terms of their styles. I think it came together in a much more Marshmello-esque way, you know, because, I mean, obviously Sudden Death's going to be the one that's catering a little bit more in this type of collaboration, right? So I feel like they blended the music together, their styles, a little bit better this time round. You know, I'm not a huge, huge fan of it, but I can definitely see where they're going with this. It's got kind of that very video game type of feel to it,
yeah,
which Marshmello has definitely gone for, and you can see, you know, in terms of the memes that's been coming up, you know, him on Fortnite and things, like, it's definitely got this video game kind of association now, for better or for worse, and so I think, you know, they're tapping into that with this type of track, but just with going a little bit harder, or actually I should say quite substantially harder than you hear from Marshmello. But what do you think, man?
Yeah, I completely agree with you that it had a little bit more cohesion than Sellout did. It still felt a little bit too jumbled up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, I didn't really know where to focus, like,
no.
Where was the direction of this track going, and that was really throwing me off. You could definitely distinctly tell that the second drop of this song was, like, all Sudden Death. He's just like, all right, Marshmello, like, we played around with the first drop. Let me come in here and just blow some freaking minds. So I was a really big fan of the second drop. But I don't know, there still just was not much cohesion enough for me to say, like, I'm going to listen to this again. So I'm going to pass on this song. But you know what, guys? Definitely peep this. I mean, it's on Spotify, so definitely check that out. Actually, all these songs we just talked about are on Spotify, so definitely peep that.
And in our show notes, which you
and
can
in
see
our show
on our
notes,
brand new website.
Beyondthebeats.co.
There you go. Absolutely.
Okay. Last one, W&W. I'm excited to talk about this. W&W, Sandro Silva and Zafrir for the song Wizard of the Beats. Alec, you know what? Let me count down this drop to you, okay? Ready? 3, 2, 3, 2, 1, let's go! What'd you think?
I don't want to be a bit of a buzzkill here, but I wasn't too big on this track, honestly.
What?
I just am not that into this type of sound as much, you know? I'm a little bit bored by it. I'm a bit over by it, I think, you know? I mean, if I was just appreciating it from more of the Big Room perspective, then yeah, I definitely would be about the track. But just me personally right now, I'm just not really into this type of stuff. I could appreciate it, though. I will say that. So it's not totally negative. Like, this is a track where it's like, okay, if I was a bit more into Big Room and more of the main stage type of sound right now, I would definitely be into this and all about it. So there's definitely going to be a lot of people out there who love this track, and just from I could definitely appreciate the thought and that goes into it. So I'm not completely a Scrooge on this track. I think it's good, but it's just not entirely something that's going to be on my repeat.
All right, well, that is interesting. Well, you know what, EDM champions, you guys heard it here, Alec does not like Big Room.
That's not,
I find
this
shocking.
On hold on, let's not
shocking.
Generalize. No, it's just
no. You hate all Big Room. You hate all artists that make Big Room. You hate everybody who likes
Boxing
Big Room.
Boxing me
right?
up here, okay. All right, Chainsmokers fan 101.
Hey. Get out of here with that one. All right, here we go. So for me, I was all about this song. Like, this really threw me back to my, you know, when I went to like my first rave in like 2012. Like it threw me back, and it felt really good to hear this sound again. And W&W has always stayed true to Big Room. You know what I mean? Sandra Silva, I mean, oh my God, when that song Epic came out, you remember that? Epic?
I do, yes.
Oh man, that was an epic track. Song burn
I will admit,
up.
That was.
Yeah. Craziness. So, you know, it was just really cool to see them team up for another Big Room song. Look, am I going to listen to this all the time? No. There's a time and place for these types of tracks, and that's when you're at like a big festival or you're at like a really big stadium rave, and, you know, somebody drops this and it's going to get the energy pumped up and it's going to do its job. But otherwise, besides that, I'm not going to like throw this on in my car and like, you know.
Are you sure? I don't know, man. I can see it.
No. I'm definitely skipping this one in my car for sure, dude. For sure. Time and place for everything.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's our
enough.
New music.
That is. And just a reminder, I mean, I know we've covered this already, but we're very pumped up that we've got our website. That's www.beyondthebeats.co. Once again, www.beyondthebeats.co. And while you're at it, perusing through all of the show notes and other things that we've got on the website, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram. That's at btb.pod, or on Twitter at podbtb.
Nice.
All right, man.
Dude, that was nice.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. But what's even nicer, Taya, is the conversation I had with Ekan Nova the other week outside of one of my favorite nightclubs, possibly in the world right now. It's Audio in San Francisco. I absolutely love this place. So kicking it off with the news and culture section this week is my conversation with the upcoming house star, Ekan Nova. Take a listen.
What's going on, EDM champions? I'm here outside of Audio, the infamous nightclub in San Francisco, and I've got a very, very special guest. I only got him for about 10 minutes or so, but I tell you what, you know him because we featured him on episode 30. This is Ekan Nova. We talked about his song Coffee with 2Mix, but the man is opening up for Tony Romero tonight. I tell you what, man, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for doing this. How'd you get this gig?
Well, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Well, let's see. I started playing piano when I was really young, and that eventually grew into me being in bands. And from bands, I started EDM projects once I discovered EDM. And then I slowly transitioned from a solo project to this like duo project. Then suddenly I found myself in this project, Ekan Nova. And I've been doing that now for, I think, about a year and a half. So I just started producing music because, honestly, I was sick of the bands that I was working with. They were hard to work with, and I wanted to control the music like myself from all aspects. So
you enjoy that really creative aspect, that freedom that electronic music gives you to kind of expand your horizons and do things you wouldn't normally be able to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you're in a band, I play piano, but I can't play drums. But if I'm a producer, then I can sequence the drums and I can make the drums sound exactly the way I want them to sound. So
how was that transition over to that? Like, how'd you learn all these things?
Before I had actually downloaded FL Studio, which is what I used to write music.
Very nice.
Before I had downloaded that in school, we had used GarageBand. So, and then there were like other similar, like kind of lesser known DAWs like that. And I kind of got my feet wet that way. So when I downloaded FL, it wasn't totally foreign. I was like a little bit familiar, and I have a musical background, so that kept my it kept me steady just from having that musical background. So I felt comfortable.
That's amazing. Like, I always love hearing those stories about how people transition over from different types of music into this. And so, like, would you describe yourself before you got into this type of scene? Were you going out to raves? Were you going out and doing these things? Like, what happened?
No. Definitely not. I love the culture. I have nothing against the culture at all, but I'm just the opposite of it in many ways.
Okay.
And I've come to learn how to adopt a lot of it into my life as I'm going around to shows and touring. But for instance, like, I'm completely sober. I've never had a drink. I've never smoked or anything. So I grew up in a religious household, didn't really go out much, and I've always been more of a homebody. So when people were going out to these like candy raves, I was inside like listening to Coldplay and playing keyboard. So there's a bit of a dichotomy there. But as I've grown up, I've just come to understand the culture that is raving, and I just like fell in love with that after falling in love with the music.
So what about the culture made you fall in love with it?
It's just the fact that people, whether you're there enjoying some kind of a drink or something, or
a drink for a euphemism,
or you're there with your friends, like the common denominator is people are there for the music, and people are like the people who enjoy music at EDM events, like really enjoy it. And if you go to a hip hop show or a rock show or whatever, like people are there for the music, but from my perception, people are not as immersed. So I really love the immersion that people seem to experience.
That's so funny, man. I almost want to give you a hug right now because I feel that so deeply. Like, I was never really into the EDM scene at all before.
No way, okay.
No. And now I run a fucking podcast about it, right? Like, I mean, it's just like totally different.
Yeah, please, yeah.
And I was only really into, oh, thank you, man. I was only ever really into just, you know, kind of the hip hop scene. But then when I found EDM, it really just explored my horizons almost, right? And I found that I appreciate more types of music now than I did before. Do you feel
that? Same here. Like in the last maybe 2 years, like for a while there, I was like super snobby about the EDM I listened to. To be honest, I was like a big room head and I only listened to like 128 big room.
Nice. Who?
And just like all the top charting B4 guys. Yeah. But then now I find myself listening to music that I've never listened to in the past, like more like whether it's like psychedelic stuff or lo-fi stuff, just like, I like to think of a pretty eclectic taste.
So, okay, I have to ask you, speaking of like kind of that other type of stuff, what do you think of Calvin Harris's Love Regenerator?
Oh, dude, I'm glad you asked. I love it, man.
Yeah,
I love it. Yeah, I love that sound. That just reminds me of like...
Bring him back, right?
Just like a basement, just like a dark basement. Yeah, I love that sound. Yeah, it's super cool.
So is that like, do you prefer to play in those type of intimate spaces? I mean, you know, what's the type of like environment that you prefer to play as a DJ and producer now?
That's a good question. I think I really thrive in like, if I can see someone's face close and I can see their
not
expression.
Too close, hopefully.
Not too close. But if I can like really see their facial expression and see how they're reacting to the music, that's my favorite. Because if you're playing more of a festival set, it's not worse or bad. It's different. But I personally like having everyone closer. Like, you can really feel the energy more. And you can like see on their faces, you can read the crowd just from their faces, not their body language, but their expressions. I just love that.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And so I have to ask, based off of that though, what is your best and worst moment performing?
Wow, great question. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot with that one, but no, I had to ask it.
No, you're fine. I've already got the answers
there
in my head.
No,
okay.
All right.
A while ago, I don't remember quite when. I don't want to give too many details, but I was at Venue X. The sound guy, I guess this venue was recording, it was like interviewing artists in the same room that I was playing my set. And I don't know, it wasn't coordinated or planned well, but
right.
I kept playing my music because I was booked to play music. And the sound guy was like, you can't do that right now. And I was like, well.
Wait, what do you mean? What?
I know.
What?
So long story short, he ended up he unplugged.
No.
My sound.
No.
And he was like, he was upset at it.
Upset?
He was just upset. I don't even understand it to this day, but that's the worst one. Just like,
man.
It's one thing if I mess up, but if someone comes up and just yanks out the cord, I mean,
come on,
dude.
What can you do? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then best moment, maybe the first one that comes to mind, I was just in Salt Lake and played a really good show. Really good crowd, really engaging crowd, and... I was opening for Dombrowski, and as
holy
we
shit.
Yeah,
wow.
As we were
you just threw that nonchalantly in there, opening up for the French maestro.
Oh yeah, he's great. As we were transitioning off, he like applauded me and bowed to me in front of the crowd, and that was just that felt amazing. And yeah, he's a cool guy.
So I mean, from the people and kind of the scene, who are the people that you look up to right now?
Wow, that's a man. I wish I had some names in my head prepared for this answer.
Okay, so all right, so maybe not right now currently in the scene, so I'll transition. This is a question I'll ask everybody.
Okay.
If you could play back to back with anybody current or past, who would it be?
Okay.
Any genre?
I like to think that part of my sound and part of my style is kind of a hybrid of the inspiration that I get from Chris Lake and Porter Robinson.
Ooh.
Like if Chris Lake and Porter Robinson had a music baby, I think that I would get inspiration from that music baby. So if I could do a back to back with both of those guys, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Honestly, that would be absolutely incredible. Well, I tell you what, man, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here. Thank you for taking the time to do this. I know you got to go off to your set now, but just all the best of luck. And honestly, like, we at Beyond the Beats here have just been following everything that you've been doing, just seeing you rise through the ranks, and just the uniqueness of your sound is really, it's really captivating. So thank you so much.
I really like really, man, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you so much. That makes me feel really good.
Just last words, man. If there's anything, I always like to end it off on just kind of a note, because we have a lot of producers, aspiring bedroom producers who want to be big name DJs. You know, they're listening to this podcast. They always ask us, like, you know, can you tell us what these producers, these successful people have as advice? So if there's any advice that you could tell an aspiring producer, what would it be?
Don't get in the way of whatever you're creating, whether you're making music or any whatever art form you're making. Just don't get in the way of it. Everyone does have creative potential, and everyone does have a critic in their minds, and that critic and that voice gets in the way of that potential. So just try to remove yourself from that and just let the art come out, and over time you'll get to where you want to be, as long as you're having fun, honestly.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much again. This is Ekanova. He's out here in Audio. What is your next stop, by the way, before quickly?
I'm playing tomorrow at Meow Wolf in Santa Fe, so that'll be super fun. My grandpa lives in Albuquerque, so he's actually...
Is he coming?
Yeah, he's coming to the show.
Oh, my God. Grandpa coming
yeah,
up.
He's coming to the show. Yeah, it'll be great to see. My mom's flying out, too. Yeah, it's going to be a family reunion. I can't wait.
All right. Well, everyone's going to go see that big family reunion. This is Alex signing off from Beyond the Beats out here in San Francisco. Thank you again, Ekanova. This has been honestly an awesome experience, and we shall talk to you later. Bye.
Alec, can I just pay you a quick compliment here?
Yes, you may. I will take compliments any day and time of the week.
Dude, I'm really, really impressed with this interview. You did a really nice job with this. And like, you could just tell, like, Ekanova was having a good time. Like, it was just a fantastic conversation. And he is such an interesting guy as well, man. I mean, like, peep this, right? His real name, Steven, right out of Arizona, right? He's only 22. And he's got a crazy, crazy great career ahead of him. He's had acts like Dada Life, Laid Back Luke, EDX, Oil Grime. All these people played his tracks before. So, I mean, he definitely has some recognition in the space. He is growing, growing, growing. Alec, I gotta say, it's just really interesting to hear his background. Like, he was involved in different types of bands, you know. He wasn't even like a really big EDM head, and he discovered EDM, and I just find that so interesting that, like, I think you and I can definitely relate to this. When people discover EDM, they just fall deep into the rabbit hole, and Ekanova is just one of those guys that just fell really deep into it, and he wanted to have full control over the creative process of creating music that means something to him. And so he pursued this Ekanova project, and I love that. I really, really love to hear about his background and his origins.
No, absolutely. It's definitely something that just shows you really that you can become a producer from anywhere and anyhow, right? Like, I mean, he's definitely had more of a musical, you know, background than I think some people have. But you can definitely hear that in his tracks. But it just shows that, you know, no matter where you are, even if you're not normally around it from the get-go, that you can definitely get into electronic music and you can do well if you put your mind to it. And so that's why I really enjoyed talking to him about it. He's a lovely guy, stand-up guy. I love the fact that he doesn't feel like he has to go and play like obliterated or under the influence of anything, that he can just get out there and do his thing because he just has a true love for the sounds and for the beats.
Hell yeah.
And that was just really great talking to him. And I tell you what, man, he absolutely murdered that set. He did. He crushed
nice.
It.
Oh, I'm
it
so
was
happy about
amazing.
That.
Oh, man, it was such a great. I went up to him after. I was like, man, you absolutely crushed it. Like, he truly, truly did nail it. So, Ekanova, man,
nice.
We love you. We're big fans on here. We're keeping track of everything that you're doing. So just please keep on going and
yeah.
keep on crushing it.
I actually met him also in New York.
That's
so
right.
He had
did
our friend
him.
Aaron Root.
That's
yeah,
right.
Our friend Aaron Root from Lunar Lounge, Azure. He had a show in New York. Headlining was Ekanova, and he did a fantastic job that night too. So honestly, like, guys, if you ever get a chance to go see Ekanova, if he's coming to a city near you, you have got to check him out, especially if you like house music. I mean, you really can't go wrong with his vibe, and he's just a really wonderful person as well. So, Alec, thank you for that. That was awesome, man.
Of course. And just shout out to him again. Thank you for taking the time. He was going on, but he was opening up for Tony Romero, by the way.
Nice.
That's who he
nice.
Was opening up for, yeah. So definitely nice. Worth shouting out there. That's a pretty darn big gig. And it was his first time, it was his first time playing in San Francisco. So, you know, shout
what?
Out to him. Yeah, it was his first time playing
nice.
At Audio as well. Yeah, so it was really neat. I'm glad to see him, and I hope that he comes back out soon.
All right, let's talk about this because I'm really, really excited about this one, right? Because this is happening right here in my city, baby. This is happening right here in New York City. So Resolute, who they are a promoter. They throw some parties out here in New York. They bring some fantastic talent out here. You know what? They just made the pledge that they're going to become more eco-friendly. And that's something that really, really resonates a lot with me. And so in this Instagram post that they put out here, I'm going to read a little bit of this, right? It says, plastic is gross. Being a transient party with no permanent home, it's not easy, but it's crucial we do what we can. We've already made the move with 100% recyclable aluminum water bottles. Now we're taking it a step further. Starting this weekend, we are using reusable cups, BPA and all that bad stuff free, instead of single-use plastic cups. These will be collected after the event and then cleaned for next by another organization called at Cup Zero Hero. So it's just such a great move, man. Like, and these sorts of like local parties, sorry, and these sorts of grassroots movements can do a lot to influence like other promoters, other people who throw parties, other venues, and outside of just New York City as well. Like, I want to see more eco-friendly raving and live experiences. And I'd love to see that little like small organizations like Resolute are leading the charge in trying to start a movement in New York and hopefully beyond.
No, I love that, man. It's because it's something that if you don't think about it when you go out to party and do these things, you don't really realize how much of an impact it could be having on the environment, right? And and we've talked about it numerous times before, so I know, yes, we're kind of beating the, you know, driving the nail in hard and deep here with it, but just it's just so important to go out and support these type of initiatives and really shine the spotlight on these type of partnerships, because it's just showing that you can have an effect on and a say on how environmentally friendly these type of events and going out and raving as a total experience can be. So just showing your support of this, calling out in a good way, saying, hey, this is exactly what people in the industry should be doing. Pay attention. This is the type of thing that people need to get behind and show support for, because there's a lot of negativity around things with the environment, and quite rightly so. I mean, we're kind of screwing ourselves over here a little bit, but there has to be some optimism at some time. So it's great just to see, even if this is just a small little thing, it's a step in the right direction. And kind of like dominoes, once the first one falls, it's going to continue going throughout the industry, and then eventually I'm sure clubs of all sorts and festivals of all sorts are going to take even larger steps to reduce their environmental footprint, right? And their carbon footprint too. So plastics is one thing. There's other ways, you know, things that clubs and festivals and promoters all need to do to really reduce the carbon impact, right? Because I mean, this is just the plastic component, but nonetheless, this is still a very, very good step in the right direction.
Totally. And, you know, just big shout outs to like all the different, you know, festivals that are also making movements like this. Like Lost Lands has a really cool trash pickup program where at the end of the festival, if you like pick up a bunch of recyclables and trash off the ground, you could turn it in to get like free merch, which I think is such a cool program. So Lost Lands does that. We just talked about EDC Vegas like on last week's episode of the pod, where they were talking about some of the initiatives that they're taking on. Big shout out to this organization that Resolute is teaming up with, Cup Zero. So that is the name of the organization that provides these reusable event cups, and then they are actually cleaned for the next event. So guys, I don't know if we have any industry professionals out there that work in the nightlife industry in your local city, but you know what? If you guys can start grassroots movements in your own cities and demand this sort of change, I think we can make this whole scene a better place and more eco-friendly.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful words.
Thank you.
Very true.
Thank you.
Words,
really,
too.
I'm just so pumped up on environmental friendliness, man. Okay, I have a metal straw. Fuck plastic.
I actually have a metal straw. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I love it. Excellent. I absolutely love that thing. It's dope. Yeah.
Don't tell me I can't bring it to the club. Don't tell me. I can do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Alec needs his metal straws. All right. Dude. When are we going to go to the UK together?
I know. It's terrible. It has to happen at some point. It's terrible that we haven't been together. Really bad. And it's worse that last year you went to one of the largest festivals without me. I mean, it's not your fault, but it's just like, damn, we should have just figured something out. We'll go at some point soon. And of course, just what I'm trying to preface here is the fact that Creamfields, yet again, has put on a fantastic lineup, and they've just dropped it. Samir, since you've been to this, what are your thoughts? What have you heard in terms of the hype up behind Creamfields? And just give us the overall overview of what you think Creamfields 2020 is going to be like.
Yeah, guys, I just want to say that Creamfields is an amazing, amazing festival in the UK. I actually went in 2018 by myself. I saw that Eric Prydz was doing his Hollow show at Creamfields, and I saw the rest of the lineup, and I was like, all right, this is a full send. This is an absolute full send. Booked my ticket, booked my flights, and I went there, and it was one of the best times I've ever had in my life. If you guys don't know what Creamfields is, it's okay. It's just, it's like the premier UK EDM festival, and it brings in some of the biggest names in the industry. All right, you guys are gonna be absolutely blown away by this one when we start rattling these off. It's located right near Liverpool, so it's very easy to get to. So here we go. All right, Afrojack, we got Alesso on there, we got freaking Armin, Calvin Harris, Camel Fat, you got Eric Prydz doing Holosphere in there, Deadmau5, you got Jax Jones, a favorite of the pod, he's gonna be there, Hot Since 82, Joseph Capriati, Martin Garrix, Nicole Mudaber, MK, Oliver Heldens, Chami, Vinny, Vicky, Tiesto, I mean, Alec, I'm foaming at the mouth just looking at this lineup right now. It is absolute insanity, dude, but they do this every single year. They literally pull in, like, every single name any person would ever want to see at a festival. They do it every year, and I tell you what, man, it goes off without a hitch every year. I was really, really impressed when I went to Creamfields. The only thing about it was that the weather can just swing like absolute crazy.
Welcome to the UK, sometimes, man.
Yeah, dog. I really got that firsthand. Like the first 2 days were just beautiful, absolutely sunny. And then like during the second day, it started to get cloudy. And then overnight, it just absolutely stormed and poured down. I've never seen anything like it. I woke up the next morning, dude. I got in my tent. It was everything was pure mud. Everything was pure mud. Half the campsite like went home. They packed up and they're just like, "Fuck this! I'm not raving in the rain and mud." But you know what? It proved to be a really, really fun time. The Chainsmokers are there as well. I gotta give them some love on here. Alec, we gotta go. What did you think of this lineup?
It's amazing. I mean, there's so many names on here. You know, even beyond what you just said. I mean, you've got Dimension, which is classic if you're into progressive D&B. Really pumped up that he's on there too. You got Chase and Status doing a DJ set. That's going to be lot of fun. Then you've got some awesome techno thrown in there too. Charlotte DeWitt, Anna is going to be there. I mean, just two fantastic up and rising superstars in the techno scene. I mean, who else is on here? You've got
our boy Chris Lorenzo.
You've got Chris Lorenzo, Gorgon City, Hannah Wants, Holy Goof. Oh my God. I mean, it just goes on and on. Example, by the way, Example is awesome. Brit rapper out there. MK, Nicole Mudaber, Nina Kravitz, Peggy Goo, Pete Tong, Pendulum Trinity. I mean, it's just, you know, we could go on and on.
Dude.
Scream, Sunny Fader. Oh, Jesus, I could keep going on and on. And just read
and
down.
Let's give some love to the Hardstyle people out there, right? So you got
Styles.
Brennan Hart, Miss Kate, you got MKN, Reckless. I mean, you got so many goddamn names on this, man. Sander Van Duren
TNT's
is doing Purple Haze.
There too. Got to give a shout
it's
out
craziness,
him. I know.
Dog. It's craziness.
Unbelievable.
It is a really, really fun festival. Honestly, I would totally go back to it again. If I was not going to Tomorrowland and EDC this year, I would have probably went to Creamfields again.
Ooh.
It is a really fun festival. Yeah, people are very friendly. Like I said, I went by myself, right? So just I met some amazing people out there that I still keep in touch with, and it's a really, really good time. So pack your bags, dog. Pack your bags. We're going. I already booked our flights. We're out of here, man.
I know. We gotta do it, man. We gotta go.
Yeah.
We'll go 1 year for sure.
And the production, I gotta say, is really, really impressive as well. I would actually compare Creamfields to like an Ultra. Right, that's basically like if you need some context about like what Creamfields is like, I'd say it's like Ultra. Right, EDC Vegas is like one of those festivals that kind of transports you into another world. Creamfields is like Ultra, except like it's obviously not right next to the water in downtown Miami. It's a massive open field, and there is a lot of space and a lot of stages. Like there are two huge main stages on opposite sides of the arena, and then all these tents, like indoor stages, you know, scattered throughout. It's really, really impressive. How many stages and how many people come to this festival to play? It's really, really cool.
I'm really about it, man. It's one of those festivals that I've wanted to go to but haven't been, so we'll have to make it
exactly.
happen.
Exactly. And I feel like with you and I going, you can show me the British way even better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
you got
quite the experience from what I've
heard.
I did. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you did. It was a nice one, brother. It was a nice one.
Sorry,
if you've
I
been to Creamfields,
you.
You'll get that one.
I love you. Just any British wave in general. Yeah.
Yeah, for real though, for real. All right.
Okay.
That was fun.
Yes, that was. And this is a really interesting kind of going on the fun trend here. Harmonix, okay. You got the people behind Guitar Hero. Sorry, not Guitar Hero. It's Rock Band. and Dance Central.
Thank you, Alec. Don't get it twisted.
Sorry. It's hard not to sometimes you get to crossover, but
I hear that.
You know, Rock Band, Dance Central, Harmonix, they've come out with a new game. It's called Fuser, and it's about mixing music. You're going to be a DJ. You're going to go on and take on the festival scene, and you'll be up there on your decks. You don't need a special controller. It's all done through the gamepad, and then you're going to be there put on tracks. But what's interesting behind the premise of this is that you've got festival attendees DMing you song requests, right? Which is just, first of all, it's just to me, it's just like, no, that's not how it works. And also, no DJ really likes that. Unless it's one of the more open format ones. What also seems interesting to me is that this isn't really a game focused on electronic music. I don't know if you've noticed that. There seems to be a lot of focus on just the regular pop songs and stuff like that, which seems to me to be a little bit misrepresentative, I think, of DJing, you know, where it's just kind of, well, it's like putting on these big like festival stages and things like that, and it's like they would play, a lot of the times they would be playing some more electronic music too. So I feel like there needs to be a little bit better representation there.
That's interesting. So is that like your main gripe with this?
Kinda. I mean, well, aside from the fact of just how it's done, where, you know, it's I understand it's not supposed to replace the art and learning how to DJ, right? But I do feel like in some way it just the simplicity of the controls, it seems like, I mean, it's not easy, but it's kind of a little bit more simplistic and not as representative. It, you know, smooths over transitions for you, stuff like that. I feel like it might give people a little bit more of the, reinforces that sentiment that DJing is kind of gimmicky and it's just pushing knobs and buttons and stuff.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't really have to focus that much on mixing tracks in, right? You just kind of throw in what people want to hear. And I just feel like it just reinforces that incorrect stereotype and assumption there is about DJing, even if you're a hip-hop DJ or whatever, right? It's not just about electronic music. And, you know, that's certainly the case when everyone sees any type of DJ. It's kind of like, oh, you're not Spotify, not just shuffle and play, right? I could just select and say whatever song I want. And I don't want it to reinforce the fact that people think they could just go and ask for song requests.
I
get it. It's entertainment. I get it's fun. But I just feel like it just really misinforms people about what the experience is like.
That is really interesting. See, I guess I didn't really look at it that way, but now that you bring up that point, I can see where you're coming from on this. I do want to read a note here from this article. First of all, shout out to EDM.com. I thought this was a really well done article. So it says here, Harmonix product manager Daniel Sussman has explained that just as in previous games from the developer, Fuser is not meant to replace learning the art in a classical sense. It's meant for entertainment, but there's no denying it does work as a great introduction to the world of mixing and may help people hear music in a different way. See, like, I do want to say, when I was growing up, I played a lot of Guitar Hero when I was in middle school and high school, and a lot of Rock Band. And I grew up in an Indian household, so I wasn't really exposed to like all the classical rock music that other families in my neighborhood and other children were listening to while they were growing up, right? So like, I didn't really know all that much about like the Allman Brothers, like Lynyrd Skynyrd, for instance, or Queen, you know? But I learned a lot of classical rock music, and I'm sure I'm going to get some flack for this, but that's fine. But I learned a lot of classical rock music from Guitar Hero. Because I played that game so much and I got to listen to these songs. And obviously, like, I know that it was a game and it was a really fun game, but it also introduced me to a whole new world of music that I was not really exposed to. And it also just sparked an interest for me to dive deeper into what, like, 60s, 70s, and 80s rock sounded like, and 90s rock. Like, Rage Against the Machine. I was introduced to Rage Against the Machine because of Guitar Hero. So I'm really, really excited to see kids who are growing up try this game out and get introduced into a whole new type of sound that they may not otherwise be exposed to. And like, look, let's be real here. Like, EDM has become a massive part of pop culture. So I'm sure that children have already been exposed to some type of EDM, right? Whether it be through like Future Bass or, you know, the Chainsmokers or Calvin Harris or whoever's on the radio. However, one thing that I love here that this article pointed out is that like tracks from people like Fatboy Slim are going to be in this game. And Fatboy Slim is just one of those people who really pioneered house music in the UK. So the fact that like his tracks are going to be in the mix with the likes of like the Chainsmokers and Billie Eilish and 50 Cent really means that like younger people are going to be able to appreciate older electronic music. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting. Like, they haven't released a full track list, but if you look at other articles around the web, there's much less of a focus than on the electronic music side of things than EDM.com did. So I think there's some bias there a little bit where we're just kind of looking for the EDM tracks. And I think it's awesome, but Fatboy Slim, just bear in mind, like, you know, maybe not as much in America, but in the UK, Fatboy Slim has always been huge. Right.
Oh, of course.
So, like, I think maybe from the American perspective, being introduced to Fatboy Slim is something new, but I don't necessarily think that's the case in a lot of other places in the world. Just kind of one caveat there. And the second thing, too, is I totally understand, like, and I love the fact that Guitar Hero got you into it. Guitar Hero, I think, for a lot of people got into the sound of, you know, and how, you know, music, classical rock can influence people and make them think about music in a different way. It's just the one gripe I have is that I think they could have made the game, from what it seems like at first front, a little less gimmicky, because you don't have that same association with guitarists, right? No one is thinking there saying, oh, playing guitar is just like pressing a couple, you know, buttons and keypads on this guitar, right? Everyone knew how hard it was playing guitar. Everyone knew how type, you know, how hard it was to play any other type of instrument. But I feel like just with DJing specifically, there is a different type of assumption that a lot of people come into it with. And I just don't know if it's necessarily the best way to introduce it to them. I think if they made it a little bit more, you know, some learning aspects on it, but made it a little bit more realistic, made it a little bit more educating people about what it's like to throw different tracks together, rather than it being a crowd sourced thing, right, where it's like saying, oh, you got to react to whatever the people, you know, the fake people in the game are telling you to. I feel like that's I get what they're trying to do here, but I feel like it's just not quite the experience that I think is really gonna open people's mind up to this type of music. I don't know. I mean, that's just me, and I'm of course biased with my own opinion.
I'm going to disagree. Ooh, okay. I think this will be a really, really neat educational tool for people to, you know, dive deeper into different types of genres of music. You know what I mean? And look, it's still
okay.
Really
so
early,
now I see that part. So I understand where you're coming from there. Yes, I don't mean in terms of diving deep into other parts of music.
Okay,
see, I think what you're looking at it from a slightly different perspective. I'm looking at more from the experience of mixing of DJ.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes. Not so much. Yeah. Oh, totally. I love the fact that there are different genres in here and that you can really go back and forth between them, just as if you were DJing some type of bar, right? Or a regular nightclub, not an EDM focused one. I love that. And I think it's going to make people appreciate different sounds and genres of music and be like, oh, it's so cool. I can throw in vocal samples in here and stuff. Like, it's going to get people creative from that perspective. But I think they could have maybe focused a little bit more on that experience of itself and really made people think, it's just from what it seems like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, it's good, but I'm not happy with it. You know what I mean? I just feel like they could have done it a bit better.
They could do more?
Yeah, like they could just do a bit more and kind of get away from that, oh, the DJ is just there for the whims of people's opinions and what they want. That's really what I'm trying to get at here, is that it's still kind of viewed as DJs are the people pleaser rather than DJs are an artist. Right, this is their way of expressing themselves by mixing in different tracks, different genres. So it becomes a thing like, the better that you please these other people, the better you are as a DJ. Rather, I think that sentiment needs to go away, and you have to respect the DJs as people who are creating their own artistry. Right, and I feel like it doesn't intend to, but I do feel like it implicitly reinforces the fact that as a DJ, you're not so much an artist as much as you're just doing what other people want to do.
Mm,
so
that is interesting. I do agree with you. Like, I hope that, like, as these kids are, like, growing up and they start going to, like, their first, like, I don't know, like, show, or like they go to a club and they're like, okay, how do we request this song to Marshmello? Like, is there a number that we text? Or, like, you know, how do we tell Tiesto that we want to hear, like, you know, I don't know, some big group song. I don't know why my mind is blanking right now.
Maybe I'm taking this too seriously. I don't know. Maybe I'm taking
it too
seriously.
I think you need to lighten up over there.
I just want there to be, like, I have no problem with games like this, and I have no problem with it at all. It's just that there's nothing really out there for it. So it's just, I feel like, you know, if you're going to be the first people to kind of put out something like this.
To be fair, there is DJ Hero, but I think DJ Hero is a little bit different in terms of the premise. Like, DJ Hero is more about, like mixing and scratching.
Right, but
than it is, like, putting
sets. But there's still not much out there. Even if, okay, so
two. No, of course.
So there's two, right? Like, I mean, there's not really much else out there about it, right? So even if there was 10 or 20, there's just not a lot out there, and I just feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm taking it too seriously.
I think you need to lighten up, dog.
Maybe. I don't know.
No,
these kids need to learn the right way.
Like, yeah, I know, exactly. They'll be like, okay, millennial. No, dude, I think your points are perfectly valid, and you know, I don't really disagree with what you're saying. I think I'm taking a more slightly optimistic view on this game. I'm excited to see the creativity that this type of stuff sparks. Is basically what I'm trying to say.
You know, at the end of the day, here's the optimistic note to end it on. At the end of the day, anything that allows people to explore different aspects and different types of music is A-OK in my book. It's just, yes. I just want, and I expect something more out of the people who are behind Rock Band. You know, I just expect a little bit more, you know, a little bit more homage to what it's truly like to do it. Like, I get that being entertaining, but that's all. So I have high expectations, probably higher than I should. So there we go.
I hope that it meets it. We'll actually be finding out some more information about this game pretty soon. It's going to be released in fall of 2020, so more details to come on that. Guys, if you're enjoying what we're talking about, let's just pause the podcast right now. Just pause it. Oh, shit. Actually, no. Play it again. And why don't you go ahead and just go into, you know, your podcasting app and just leave 5 stars, leave a review, share this podcast with a friend. Share it with a friend. You know, we were crunching the numbers the other day. If every single one of the EDM champions shares this podcast with exactly one friend, we'll double the audience. So please, go ahead, share the podcast with your friends. You know what? Give us a follow on Twitter, @podbtb. On Instagram, we're @btb.pod. You get to stay up to date with all the latest and greatest that's going on over here at Beyond the Beats. You know, we post concert videos and, you know, little videos of us talking to everybody who, you know, follows the podcast and follows the account. So we're always having a good time on the socials. So please feel free to connect with us. And also, of course, new website, beyondthebeats.co. You're gonna be able to find all the links to the articles, all the music, playlists, a little bit about Alec and I, about the artists that we spotlight. It's all on beyondthebeats.co. You cannot miss it.
Fantastic. Absolutely, man. Well,
awesome, dog.
After that positive note, we gotta get a little bit meaner here.
Yes.
Because we've got the anti-plur moment. Samir, you've been on a roll with these, my man.
I know. You've
been
absolutely.
He has just been going to the clubs all pissed off. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
just...
exactly. I bring a little notepad with me, right? And I'm like, nope, don't like that. Don't like this. Don't like that. Yeah, I'm just
arms
I'm
crossed
the
in the back.
Yeah,
come
arms
on.
Crossed. Exactly. No, dude, I'm pretty pumped up on this one because I just found this so funny. It's a dick move, but it's also very, very funny, right? So, you know, we post a lot of our concert videos up on our Instagram @btb.pod. One thing that I noticed as I was rewatching some of my Chris Lake videos from like his tour back in December, I realized that I got this really, really great video of Chris Lake playing the song Pizza. You know, the song that he did with Chris Lorenzo for their project Anti Up. And I'm like, damn, this is such a fire video, right? And then I'm watching this video and I was like, okay, I'm definitely gonna post this for the EDM champions. And I'm watching it and I notice, like, at the bottom of the screen there is this dude who just has a nice can of White Claw. Could have been ruby grapefruit, could have been black cherry, I don't know, all right, I don't know, but he was chugging this thing, straight up waterfalling it down his mouth. Right as the song is about to drop, he takes the can, just straight up lobs it into the crowd. Just like the dude has an arm. You got to give it up to him. The dude has an arm and just straight up lobs it into the crowd. I'm going to post the video. I will post the video when this episode comes out. But I was just like, damn, why do people do that? Like, why do people literally take their empty cups, or might not even be empty, right? Might be filled with ice, might be filled with the remnants of a drink and their cans of beer and all this stuff, and just straight up, you know, throw it into crowds, like expecting, like, oh, whatever, I got rid of the cup and the can and like nothing's going to happen. That is such a dick move. That is so annoying, okay? People straight up, you know what? They plan outfits, they wear their clothes out, and they're excited to be, you know, wearing, I don't know, like a white top or something. And then all of a sudden, you just feel like a sudden feeling of cold liquid running down your back. And you turn around, and your shirt is covered in somebody else's rum and coke. Like, that is such a dick move.
Yeah.
What the hell is that all about, man? Like, you know what? If you don't want to throw it away, put it on the ground, stomp on it. Like, seriously, guys, if you're drinking a beer, please, please throw it away in a trash can, or, you know, put it in recycling somewhere. But if you don't want to do that, put it on the ground and stomp on it so nobody, like, rolls their ankle on it. Do that with cups. But, like, it's just such a ridiculous thing to do, to just throw shit like that into crowds. It's so irritating. Alec, how do you feel about this, man? I'm fired up right now.
No, it gets me heated, man. I absolutely hate when people think it's okay to do that. I'm not sure where it's come from or why people decide to do it, but it's happened to me quite a few times. And You know, I also feel bad for, you know, the girls who go out and they really plan out their outfits and stuff. Like, I don't know why people think it's a good idea to do that, especially if they're chucking it and it's going to hit some girl or something. It's just like they've put on the makeup, they've done all the stuff, and just ruins clothing like that. It's just terrible. I don't get it. It's
fucking lame.
It is really lame. Yeah, I'm laughing just because of just like, I just can't explain why people do it. Like, I've never had the urge to just finish a drink and be like, right, I'm just gonna lob this. Right, I've never sat there and been like, I'm done, all right, here you go, love, there you go.
Yeah,
like, chuck it, exactly. Take that. Like, I've never had the urge. Listeners, if you've had that urge before, please tweet at us, right?
Let us know.
Please.
Let us know what is going
through
your mind.
I want to hear it. You know, no judgment at first. Definitely a little bit of judgment. Fine. But I want to hear why.
Like, a lot of judgment.
Okay, fine. Lot of judgment. Yeah. Until you can provide a rationable and plausible...
You know how people say, like, oh, I don't judge people? Yeah, fuck off with that. You definitely judge people, okay? You're the worst of them all. And we're straight up judging you if you're throwing shit.
I'm trying to
like
get
that.
Them to open up. That's why. Then we can judge them. Then we can harass... No, I'm kidding.
We'll all judge each other. Yeah.
It's terrible.
You judge us, we'll judge you.
But it is terrible. Just don't do it. Please, just don't be that moron. And also, you ruined Samir's fucking video. How dare you?
I know. I was so pumped up to, like, post it. Then I saw this behavior, and I'm just like, damn, do I really want to post this guy, like, straight up lobbing a can into the crowd? Like, that's not chill. And what if he was drinking Truly and not White Claw? Then I definitely don't want to post it, man.
I mean, I feel like out of all the ones, White Claw's okay, because it's basically water. So, I mean, you might be alright.
Dude, White Claw's amazing. I don't care what anybody says. White Claw is the best thing that has ever happened to alcohol since, fermentation.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. I'm not kidding. I love White Claw. I love that shit. Oh man,
we got a larger issue here. Okay,
Alec is like a Scotch neat kind of person when he goes to the bar. You know, he likes to sit down at a nice leather chair.
Oh, dude,
maybe
yes,
a cigar in hand.
Absolutely, man. Nice leather chair, maybe a couple of books around me. Be fantastic. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I want my raves to be like. No, I'm kidding. But
if you guys have experienced like this sort of behavior, let us know at PodBTB is the Twitter. And you know what? Maybe tweet us your favorite White Claw flavor as well. All right, tweet at us and I'll tell you mine. Yeah.
What? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well. Stay tuned for that one. I want to hear. I don't even know that. But I'm not ever buying you White. I'm not doing it. I'm not buying you White Claw.
Shut up.
I'm not going
to.
You could, yeah, you could bring it. You could buy it, but I'm not purchasing it for you. It's just not happening. Like,
fuck out of here, man. I'm going to
get
you. You're a hater.
Get you a real drink. How about that?
My next anti-porn moment is Alec and his distaste for White Claw, dude.
It's not that it's bad. I do enjoy it, but it's not really, it's not a drink that I'm like, I want to go out to a rave and just, you know, buy a White Claw. Like, no, come
down.
On, man. Get a real drink.
Down.
Come on.
No,
it's a party drink.
I'm done with you.
Come on.
All right, you know what? Let's move on before I get even more heated.
We just found another way to sell water and repackage it.
Guys, all right, check this out, all right? What are we listening to this week, Alec? I'm very excited to be talking about these two releases right here. Man, we got Disclosure, right? They're back. And last week, they were putting out a new track every single day as part of the Ecstasy EP. First of all, I just got to say that I was really enjoying the live stream that they had last week as well. They were like live streaming from one of the guys. Well, actually, his name is Guy. So they were live streaming from Guy's kitchen. They're brothers. They were live streaming from one of the brothers' kitchens and just having a really dope time, just playing some tunes. It was really cool. And they were also talking about Christoph and his new release, Consequence of Society Volume X. Let's start with the Disclosure Ecstasy EP.
Big. First of all,
huge.
I love that tactic of releasing a new track every day off of the EP.
It was awesome.
That's a cool way to do it. I think there's been some people who've done that before, but it's neat to see them, you know, kind of revitalize that strategy. I like it.
Me too. And I woke up every single morning last week and was just like,
happy.
All right, I can't wait to hear the next song. Yeah,
woke
absolutely.
Up with a nice
absolutely.
Smile on my face. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Every other day, I'm just like, fuck this. No, I'm messing around. Alec, what did you think of this, man? I mean, we got five tracks here. One of them, Ecstasy. Next one, Tondo. Another one, Expressing What Matters. You got E-Trend. You got Get Close. Disclosure is back to their house roots in a major way. Alec, what did you think?
Well, first of all, I want to applaud them for deciding to go back and pay homage to 70s soul and disco, really. I mean, it's really more disco, probably
yes.
more so than soul.
Yes.
So I will also have to say, this is a nice little plug, but on episode 50, I will be giving an exclusive, 100% free course on EDM history. It's going to be Alec's History of House Music. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a new segment called EDM History 101. You don't have to pay an arm and a leg in order to get this type of education. No need to go to school. You can have it right here on the podcast. So definitely want to say that's going to be very much tied into it, digging into kind of the the history of how house music came about, where it's really is most people know that it's come from disco. So it's really interesting that they decided to release this right before our EDM 101 course, the first one. Okay, the first one of this. Yeah, get your notebooks. You got to be taking notes. There will be a quiz.
They were like, "Oh, Alec is about to do a EDM history.
Yeah, they planned it totally
the house
me.
Music history on Beyond the Beats. We got to release these tracks in time for this.
We absolutely have to."
Alec was going to do it this week, actually, on this week's episode, but he was like, you know what, man? No, I got to wait for like my nice thick glasses to come in. I still have to get my diploma framed from the EDM University. So, you know, we're just going to hold off onto it until next week.
Beyond the Beats, you. Come on, man.
There you go, baby. Professor Alec. Back to the music, yes. Because that's what we're talking about here. Disclosure, right? Five tracks. I completely agree. This just felt like really, really fun disco music to listen to. I really can't think of any better way to put it. Also, Alec, I mean, can you tell me about what UK garage is, as you like to call it, right? That's very piano based house music that originated in the UK.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, and there's definitely influence on that in there. Just from things that I've read about how they came to do this, they've just kind of been like screwing around with some things over the course of the last year, sampling some different old school disco tracks and different garage tracks as well. And they just decided to come up and were like, you know what, let's actually make some real tracks out of these and reintroduce people to kind of more of the roots. But what's interesting is that they, you know, they still kept their own modern twist on it. Like, it wasn't totally in the structure of an old school disco track or record that you would hear. They put their own twist on it. They add a little bit more of a modern house interpretation of it. But they really did stick pretty true and well to the overall structure of the disco track, particularly on Ecstasy and Tondo, actually. I'd say probably more so on Tondo.
Hell yeah,
they
baby,
really
yeah.
stuck to it well, and I think they nailed it. They really nailed kind of the ambience that disco tracks used to create, kind of the energy that would be in it, you know, the different sampling of vocals, you know, that was huge. I mean, that's essentially, you know, the staple of house music. It was throwing in different you know, samples from different disco tracks onto one bass disco track. I mean, that's kind of how house music explored itself and went and expanded. And so they really paid homage to that, and paid, you know, they did the history research. They didn't need my course for it, but they did the research into it. And it's really great to see them put out an EP dedicated solely to really exploring more of the roots of house music. I thought it was really neat. In terms of specific tracks, I know we've mentioned Tondo as one, Ecstasy as well. What was your other favorite one on this EP here, Samir?
So I loved Tondo. That, oh man, what a groovy track, dude. It just not like also had some nice African vibes to it as well. I was really, really big fan of that one. Besides that one, I gotta say, Expressing What Matters is probably one of my other favorite songs off of this EP. I love the old school vibe to it, man. And a lot of people will say that Disclosure really departed a lot from their true sound, especially when the album Settle came out. Because that album Settle is absolutely amazing. Like, the song When a Fire Starts to Burn latches on that one. You also have like You and Me on there, Help Me Lose My Mind, Together. Like, all these tracks were part of that 2014 release Settle. But then after that one came out, a lot of people would say that they kind of departed from like true house music, especially with the releases that they did with Khalid, like the song Talk and Know Your Worth. And a lot of people were just kind of getting turned off to Disclosure because they saw them going the way of like they're trying to appeal to mainstream and they're losing what made them so great with their Settle album from 2014. This EP is just a huge, huge FU to all the haters out there, man. Basically saying that Disclosure is not what they used to be. Guys, I'm sorry. We cannot deny this. Disclosure is back in an absolutely major way with this EP. They've really, really dusted off those classic disco hits, and I think they were just really motivated by that type of music, and it is so apparent in this release. I'm a very big fan of this one.
I love the passion about this, man.
Thank you. This is great.
No, I'm really happy to see that you enjoyed it as well. And I certainly did too, not just from an appreciative standpoint, but also genuinely enjoyed some of these tracks, you know, and just all of them. They all showcase that Disclosure isn't about the haters. They know what they're about. They know their roots. They know their core. And so that's why I think that's part and parcel of why they put these tracks out just to show that, hey, you know, they haven't just departed. They're creative people. They like exploring different boundaries and things. But this is kind of a little reminder that they haven't forgotten their roots, and they haven't forgotten the roots of house music. I mean, this is probably in recent memory in terms of people paying homage to older, you know, Schoolhouse or the foundations of house. I can't think of any releases, you know, to date that do a better job than what Disclosure has done.
Absolutely, dude. So well said, man. Guys, you got to peep this. It's on Spotify. Like, you have to peep this. It's going to be in the show notes. This is a really, really cool release from Disclosure.
Yes.
All right. Very excited to talk about this next one. Christoph, all right, with his EP, Consequence of Society, Volume X. Alec, you got to know something about me, dude. You got to know something about me. I've seen Christoph almost as much as I've seen Eric Prydz.
Because, oh, really?
Christoph has pretty much, especially in these past couple of years, he has really been taken under Eric Prydz's wing. And so a lot of the shows that Prydz does, Christoph will open for them. So I would say maybe about out of the 15 times I've seen Prydz, I've probably seen Christoph about 9 or 10 of those times.
Wow.
So, yeah. So with that being said, sometimes I feel like Christoph can be a bit overshadowed by Prydz. You know what I mean? Because Prydz is such an absolutely massive name. And I think Christoph has really learned a lot from Prydz and being on tour with Prydz and probably really tapping into the master's knowledge of music and sound design. But I think Christoph is like, all right, he's ready, I feel like, to depart from that master and disciple relationship. I can't think of a better way to put it. I think he's ready to make a statement, a bigger statement with his music. I've always been a big fan of Christoph's music, but this latest release is truly coming out full force and saying that Christoph is ready to show the world what he's got. This is a fantastic, fantastic EP. Sleepless Nights, Star Court, Hawkins, all great progressive house tracks with a little bit of a darker edge to it, which is what is something I've always come to expect from Christoph. This song, the song Sleepless Nights, is probably one of my favorite tracks I've heard in progressive house this year.
Oh, nice. I loved this, man. And thank you for the context. I didn't realize that you'd seen Christoph so many times, but yeah. I am also quite a big fan of Christoph. I really like what he's doing in the progressive house scene. I think he's definitely leading the charge here on people, you know, the new generation of people inspired by Eric Prydz. So I agree with you on that one too. I actually really enjoyed Hawkins, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. I liked all of them. That's the thing. I can't really say one of them I preferred more so than the other, but I really enjoyed all of them. I mean, Sleepless Nights was great. Star Court was great. Hawkins was great. I love kind of the little bit more minimalism at the beginning, kind of building up slowly. It's just really fantastic progressive house stuff, man. I mean, I wish I had more to say, but you kind of have already encapsulated everything that I wanted to say. I think this is just him making a statement and him really carving out his own place in the progressive house scene, you know, even if a little bit under the wing of the legend that is Eric Prydz. But Samir, my man, I mean, people who are longtime listeners of Beyond the Beats already know this, but just in case for anyone that's new or has forgotten, we've got a very, very cool rating scale. Samir, can you take it away and explain to all the people out there what our rating scale is?
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever going to listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not going to really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it. Alec.
Yes, sir.
Disclosure's Ecstasy EP. I'd gotta know, what is your official Beyond the Beats rating on this EP?
I'm gonna give it a level 4 out of 5 just bought tickets. Really, really enjoyed this.
Nice.
Yes. And the reason why I'm giving it probably level 4 out of 5 just bought tickets, I'm going to be a little bit more picky, I think, going here on out with my just bought tickets. Kind of just looking back and like, okay, haven't been really differentiating too much from Turn It Up and just bought tickets. So I'm going to be, you know, just to give everyone a heads up, I'll be a little bit more picky, a little bit more stringent on my criteria for fulfilling that going right. forward. But the real, yeah. you know, aside from really loving the tracks, the reason why I'm giving the sport just bought tickets is because I really hope that they do some type of throwback set or something like that, where they are playing these type of tracks as well as older disco tracks, because I would just like to go and experience and see what that's like. So if they're doing that, I mean, I'm obviously down to see them whenever, but I particularly would like them to see a player set revolving around sounds like this.
Dude, awesome, awesome, awesome. And Alec, I'm right there with you. Just bought tickets. Such an easy just bought tickets right here, man. I was really teetering between the Speechless and the just bought tickets.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie.
Really? That
was
close for you?
Yeah, I was getting
there. See, if we had decimal points, you could sort that.
No. Enough. Every time we have a staff meeting, Alec is like, when are we going to implement decimals?
What are we doing it? Come on, man. We need 3 decimal places at least.
No. yeah, dude. I was really, really just a fan, really big fan of this. And I hope we see this direction continue with Disclosure. Like, for me, I don't see Disclosure as coming back to their house roots. I see them evolving their take on house music. Yep. And this is just a statement from Disclosure saying, like, we know house music. We're not departing from that. It is still in our blood and it's still in our roots, but we are just expanding on a new sound. Sounds that have really influenced us as we grew as artists. So I'm a really, really big fan of this. Alec, Christoph, Consequence of Society, Volume X. What do you think?
So, I'm going to give this another just bought tickets level 4 out of 5. Nice. I know I said I've been more stringent. I really am. But this definitely met the criteria here. It's definitely a collection of tracks that make me want to go out and say, I need to see this man next time he's in town. So, Christoph, definitely going to be seeing you whenever I can. I love these releases. Love that you're carving your own portion out in the progressive house scene, you know, and he has been, to be fair to him, he really has been, but I feel like keeping releases up like this is going to further cement his own little space there. Fantastic bang up job on this. I loved all the tracks. How about you, man?
Nice, dude. You know, oh my god, I feel like I'm in the hot seat right now. I am going to give this one a Oh my god! I'm like, so I don't know. I need to make a snap judgment quick. I wish we had decimals. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give this one a turn it up. I'm gonna give this one a turn it up. Still incredibly impressed with this EP. I thought Christoph did a bang up job, as Alec likes to say. I think he did a bang up job with this EP. I need more music from him. I need to hear what else he's got in order to be like, yes, I'm going out and I'm buying tickets to go see Christoph as a standalone act.
Man,
that's where I'm coming from on this.
Man, Samir, harsh over here.
No,
look
no,
at this guy.
No,
he's all snubbed up on. I'm kidding.
I hold Christoph to a very, very high regard. He does not let you down. He really doesn't. But I need to see what Christoph's got on his own now. And I feel like, you know, he's like a baby bird flying the nest. He's ready to go.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Love it.
All right, man. We have reached what can be described as the pinnacle of this podcast. We're at the artists we're watching section. And Samir and I, as always, have 2 fantastic artists that we think should be on your radar and deserve a little bit more of a spotlight shined upon them. All right, who wants to kick it off this week?
My dude, why don't you take it away? Why don't you take it away? Who you got for us?
Oh, man, all righty, here we go. Kind of giving a little bit more of the atmospheric sound, just like my on repeat. There's some real ambience involved in this, but this is a little bit more creepily so, but potentially even a little bit more melodic. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the sound of Fate. You'll see your fate flash before your eyes on this drop. Please, please enjoy the deep, dark sounds of Fate with his track, Ghosts. We'll be right back.
just got shivers down my spine. Is there a ghost in the room? Is there a ghost? No. It's just Fate with his song Ghost. Dude, I gotta say, I'm really, really impressed with the progression of this track. You know, from the first drop to the second drop, like, there is like a really nice distinct difference in the way that that it's structured. Even the breaks in this track, like, I'm a really big fan of minimalism.
Yes,
I really like that
so.
In my music. And I think that Fate really hit it out of the park with this one. Like, there is, like, if you really listen carefully, there's a lot going on in this song. There's a lot happening, but it's all so subdued that it's not, like, it's not in your face, and it all comes together for a really nice cohesive song. So I'm a big fan of that. And like I said, I just love the distinct differences between the first and the second drop. Alec, how'd you find this guy? Tell me more.
I really, to be honest, man, I'm not entirely sure how I came across him. Just like, just perusing
just
through
fate.
SoundCloud. It was just fate, honestly. Like, you know, just bring draw to him. I mean, he's got about 5,800 followers on SoundCloud, on Spotify, sorry. So he's definitely, you know, a little bit lesser known. But I will say, on Instagram, he's catching the eyes of some bigger people, followed by the likes of R.L. Grime, nonetheless.
Nice.
And I tell you, I could definitely see him fitting into the Sable Valley squad there. But if you just go through all of his different tracks, I mean, you can tell that there's a melodic kind of... the essence of all of his tracks are going to be melodic, but he takes and improvises upon many different types of genres. I mean, you heard in the drop that some more melodic bass, you've got, you know, trap and some future in there. People have even described the sound as something like wave, which I think is a really cool, interesting categorization
cool.
of it, right? Or, you know, just so many different types of melodic bass. But at the end of the day, it's all about creating that ambience, all creating, you know, very atmospheric sounds that have a lot of depth to them. If you really listen closely and you listen to some higher quality headphones, you will hear that there's a lot going on in the track, but it's all layered on very nicely on top of each other. You know, some really great sound design there by him. So shout out to Fate. You are on my radar, and now hopefully all of our listeners too. Definitely going to be some big things coming out of this guy. I can already feel it.
I'm really, really excited about that. I gotta tell you, man, we say this every single week, but this is literally my favorite part of the show.
Absolutely.
Because, like, it's
absolutely.
Just, I get so much, like, I just love the passion that you're exuding right now for the artists that you've discovered. I get very passionate about the artists that I'm discovering. And, like, when you get passionate about something, you could tell. And I hear it in your voice, man. I hear it, and I just love to hear it, man. It's so great.
Love it, man. All right, come on. Introduce us to who you've
yes.
got now.
Alec, I am so excited about this guy right now, okay? I hope you can hear the passion that I'm exuding right now for my friend, not really my friend, I don't know him that well, but for my artist, Rohan, R-O-H-A-A-N, my dog. Rohan, I'm speaking directly to you, my guy. You are killing it with this drum and bass. Like, it is so fresh and it is so unique. I'm incredibly, incredibly impressed by your whole discography, man. I was having such a fun time running down your songs in SoundCloud and on Spotify because I was trying to avoid the ads. It was amazing to hear what you are capable of doing. I mean, seriously, Rohan has releases on labels like Deadbeats, Quality Good Records, Jadu Dala. He's from Manchester. He's a Manchester chap, and he's coming at you guys with some DNB. I gotta get this song in front of you, all right? You ready for this one?
Let's do it.
All right, EDM champions, peep this. This is Rohan's song, Stay. Take a listen.
Dude, man, I love his interesting take on D&B here. It's just such, it was not what I was expecting whatsoever, by the way, when I first started listening to the song. I was like, okay,
yeah,
what's going on here? See, it's a future element, stuff like that. And then just bang, hits you with that creative drop. I love it. I was definitely head bopping along to it, moving my whole body. Had me shaking, my man, you did. This was just a great, great release. And I can definitely see why Matt Zoe is all about this guy. But how do you come across him?
Dude, honestly, I got to give it up to the power of SoundCloud and their recommended artists and their discovery.
Oh, nice.
I think the algorithm is getting better for me, I got to say. I'm telling you, man, like, I've gotten really into D&B in 2018 when I went to Creamfields. And I got to say that I'm having a really fun time checking out that genre and checking out what drum and bass is all about. I mean, when I was in New Zealand, I saw Sigma with my girlfriend for New Year's Eve. So that was really fun. Some drum and bass right there as well. Sometimes drum and bass, the structure of the tracks, like they can all start to sound the same a little bit, right? And that happens with a lot of genres. But I gotta say, Rohan, I have never heard anybody make the sounds with his music that I have with Rohan, right? There's something about the gated effect on the synths that he puts in there, the way that he chops up the vocal samples that he uses and throws it in there. It's really great percussion driven D&B. And like one of my favorite songs, besides the one that I just played for you guys here, the song Stay, another song that I love is Breach. I mean, seriously, this guy is so talented, and I can't wait to see where he goes in the D&B scene.
Dude, I cannot wait either. Thank you so much for throwing him on my radar. I've been really looking for some more D&B to listen to, so thank you for putting
me.
Well, I know, man. And, you know, shout out to Matt Zoe just for himself starting to pioneer some interesting changes in the D&B scene. I mean, he's definitely switching things up. It's not your typical D&B, so, you know, shout out to him. He's doing a bang up fantastic job with it, and as is this guy. So thank you so much for putting Rohan on all of our radars.
No problem at all. But I think that takes us to the end of this episode, my friend, and I hate to say goodbye to you. I know, man,
but you know, we'll be back next week for episode 50. Can you believe it?
I know,
50 episodes, man. It's nuts. It's bewildering, actually. I mean, just to think about it, I'm like,
when I just look at the numbers, like, kind of increase, it's just like, it's crazy to just think about, like, we started this, like, the first episode, like, I didn't have this mic, right? And I was inside a closet in my parents' basement. Like, it's just crazy to think that, like, I don't know, like, obviously we still have a very long way to go,
right?
But, like, just from where we were to where we are now, where we've launched our beyondthebeats.co website, we're making fantastic friends in the scene, and we're talking to some really interesting people, like, I don't know, man. We've come a really long way, and I'm really happy that we have our EDM champions with us along for the ride.
We absolutely have.
But no one else I'd rather be doing this shit with. And I'm sure I'm going to reiterate all this stuff again next week.
Oh, I agree, man. Definitely. All right. Well, let's let everyone go. Right, have a fantastic week, and we'll be back next week for episode 50.
See you guys. Peace.